All right, well, welcome to our fall kickoff. It's so wonderful to be starting another season of Women's Fellowship Night. We're so thankful for each one of you, and we're excited to see how God grows us through a time of fellowship together throughout the year. Let me go ahead and open our teaching time in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you so much for our church family. I thank you so much for these women who have taken the time out of their evenings to gather together and to just spend this time of fellowship together. It's such an encouragement to my heart to see each one of these women here and to be growing and building our relationships with one another. We know that the family of God, our church family, is a gift from you, and that we have been given to one another to be able to help and encourage and spur each other on to love and good deeds. So I thank you for this opportunity that we have to do that. I pray that throughout this year that you would be deepening our relationships with one another, that you would be allowing us to be encouragement and correction when needed, and just that as we work together to serve you and to live lives that are pleasing to you, I pray that our relationships with one another would grow and deepen, and that you would be pleased in that. I pray that you'd be with us during our teaching time this evening. I pray that you would be with me in the words that I say. I pray that as we look to your word to grow in understanding and being able to live lives that are pleasing to you, I just pray that you would be working each one of our hearts, drawing us close to yourself. Thank you again for this day and our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so tonight we're going to talk about what our theme is going to be for the year. And it's going to be a little bit different than we've done the last couple of years, where I've had a little book that I've worked through different chapters. This one will be a little bit more open. We have a direction that we'll be working in, and each month we'll be dealing with a topic related to our overall theme. So our theme for this year is going to be developing biblical discernment. There's a little booklet that's actually available sometimes up at the Welcome Center called Developing Your Discernment by MacArthur. And he defines discernment simply as the ability to understand, interpret, and then try and apply truth skillfully. Let me say that again. The ability to understand, interpret, and apply truth skillfully. He goes on to say that authentic spiritual discernment must begin with Scripture, revealed truth. Apart from Scripture, we are just left with our own reasoning and our own understanding, which are not adequate for living a life pleasing to the Lord. They're not adequate to enable us to live lives that are unshaken. They're not adequate to enable us to stand firm. We need to be standing firm in the strength of His might. We need to be depending on wisdom and discernment from God. Scripture specifically tells us not to lean on our own understanding, on our own discernment. We need guidance and direction from the Lord. We need biblical discernment. In Scripture, biblical discernment is tied closely to wisdom. Proverbs 4:5 says, acquire wisdom, acquire understanding. And that word understanding is the same word that's interpreted as discernment in other places. So it could also be saying, acquire wisdom, acquire discernment. We need both. My study Bible describes wisdom as the skill of living a godly life as God intended man to live. Wisdom is not just knowing facts, but knowing what to do with them and doing it. It is striving to live excellently for God, applying the revealed counsel of His word to every area of our lives. This is where discernment comes in. The Bible Hub Encyclopedia says that discernment is closely related to wisdom, but focuses more on the practical application of wisdom in making decisions, in understanding spiritual truth, and in recognizing truth from error, discerning between truth and error. Discernment is that sharp insight and understanding that allows wisdom to be applied effectively. Considering our high calling in Christ and taking into account the world that we live in, we all have a great need for discernment. We all need to be growing in and developing biblical discernment. So our outline for this evening as we think about discernment is we're going to talk about why do we need discernment, in case you've wondered. Second, what is discernment? We'll go a little bit more in depth into the definition and what discernment is. Then we're going to talk about how do we develop discernment, and then what are the benefits of discernment in our lives. So why do we need discernment? As true followers of Jesus Christ, we have been chosen, called, and saved by God, and we're promised eternity in heaven with Him, perfected and conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. In our lives on earth, we are called to walk in a manner worthy of our calling. We are to be pursuing holiness and Christ-likeness, striving to be pleasing to the Lord in all we do. This provides direction and purpose for our lives. Ephesians 5, 8, and 9 says, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord." So we're to walk as children of light, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. We are to serve Him and glorify Him with our lives, and we need help and guidance from the Word of God to follow Him faithfully, to know and to do what is pleasing to Him, to make choices that align with His will, to be fruitful, to carry out the good works He's prepared in advance for us to do. The Word of God is the firm foundation we need in order to live as God has called us to. And in His Word and through His Holy Spirit, we've been given everything that we need to walk in a worthy manner, to please Him in all respects. 2 Peter 1:3 says that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. We have what we need, and day by day we must appropriate the Word of God in the circumstances of life. This requires wisdom and discernment so that we can properly apply the truth of God as we're living. And this is not always easy. We must combat our own, I would say it's hardly ever easy. We must combat our own sinful tendencies and our own desires to follow after our own way. And not only that, but as we've been learning on Sunday mornings, we do have an enemy that opposes our efforts to grow in Christ-likeness. Satan is described in the Bible as the god of this world, and he's actively working to twist and conceal the truth of the gospel, to deceive and lure people away from the truth. For true followers of Jesus Christ, we know that our salvation is secure in Christ. Satan cannot win the war for our soul, but he still opposes us. We can be deceived and fall into sin. We can damage our testimony and suffer harm from our sinful choices. Satan's attacks can cause doubt and discouragement and can pull us off track and weaken our faith. As we contend with the spiritual attacks and stand firm in the Lord, we must be aware of the schemes of Satan that he employs in his attempts to oppose and weaken and harm our faith. Pastor Zimmer has talked about this at length on Sunday mornings in our study of Ephesians, but one that I want to highlight is the role that culture and society play in this war, the way that Satan uses those things to draw us away from faithfully walking in wisdom. We live in an age where we can almost instantly find the answer to any question. I have to admit, I am a huge fan of the Google. I love knowing things almost as much as I hate not knowing things. I am old enough to remember looking things up in the family encyclopedia set and hoping to find the answer to whatever I was looking for, reading entire entries and coming away with interesting information, but not always the thing that I was really looking for. With the advent of the World Wide Web and search engines, the chances of finding an answer got better. I loved trying to craft just the right question to get the information I needed as quickly as possible. In the pre-smartphone days, my little sister would actually text me questions to look up for her when she was out and about, since I had a computer at home, and I felt like such a hero when I was able to look it up for her and give her the answer that she needed. And now, there's so much more information available, and it seems I only have to think about something or start typing in some prompt remotely related to the topic at hand, and I instantly have a plethora of queries. Sometimes they're even better than the question I had been thinking of. And it's truly remarkable, but it also comes with some real concerns. As a big fan of finding things easily, this has been on my mind lately. I still love the ability to access information quickly, but it's harder and harder to have any kind of confidence that I found the right answer. It seems there are multiple answers to every question, each one claiming to be right, often directly conflicting each other. We have an information overload and no real way to measure objective truth with all this information that's coming in. No way provided right there on the page to evaluate the quality of the information that's being provided. Instead, everyone is expected and encouraged to voice their own truth, and we're just left with a bunch of truths, and then what do we do? The biggest problem with all of this is that people are searching for more than just the best way to toast pecans or or how to pronounce the thing, or how to care for their plant, or what that plant is. They're actually seeking for answers to life's biggest questions about meaning, about truth, about who we are, about God. And the answers they're finding in our culture and on the internet are leading them further and further away from the truth in the Word of God. People are encouraged to be skeptical of truth claims, to reject the idea of objective meaning, and to resist any authority outside themselves. Each person's individual perspective or opinion is validated, and each person is encouraged to follow after what feels authentic or real or right to them. People are encouraged to dismantle traditional ways of thinking and assign their own value and meaning to everything and anything around them, including Christianity and the Word of God. Since people do not respect authority outside themselves, they have no problem picking and choosing what feels right to them and rejecting everything else. We see this in the Christian deconstruction movement that you may have heard of. It's been kind of a main thing over the last 10 years or so, where people are encouraged to question the core beliefs and doctrines of Christianity, confronting their doubts and their hurts and determining what things they want to hold on to, what feels authentic, and rejecting everything else. And they end up either walking away from Christianity altogether or reconstructing a belief system that better aligns with their authentic self, and also with whatever the culture says is good or right in that moment. Unfortunately, too many Christians are struggling to discern between the worldly philosophies of our day and the truth of God's word. One author has said, "Our culture is brimming with slogans that promise peace, fulfillment, freedom, empowerment, and hope. These messages have become an integral component of our American consciousness that many people don't even think to question them." Worldly wisdom can be so deceptive because it appeals to our self-centeredness. It flatters us. It builds up our own perception of ourselves. It encourages us to do what is right in our own eyes, which God forbids. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." So this way that the world is judging everything by what feels right to them, we know that that's ending in the way of death. 1 Corinthians 3:19 says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God." And this is what people are chasing after. Far from accepting the wisdom of this world, far from incorporating it into our thinking, we must be on guard against it. We must develop biblical discernment. We must be able to discern between the truth of the Word of God and the cleverly designed lies designed by the God of this world that aim to attack our faith and draw us away from full devotion to God and His Word. Remember, we are in a spiritual battle. It's a battle over ideas and thoughts. It's aimed at the hearts and minds, as Satan tries to draw us away from the firm foundation of the Word of God so that we stumble and fall. The acceptance of smooth-sounding lies from the evil world system is a real danger, even for believers. It was a danger faced by the Corinthian church that Paul addressed in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 11:3, he says, "But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." Paul was concerned that the Corinthian believers would fall for Satan's lies and have their minds corrupted. My study Bible says, "The tragic result would be the abandonment of their simple devotion to Christ in favor of the sophisticated error of the false apostles that their church was contending with." We must keep in mind that when we're dealing with information from the world, nothing is neutral, as Pastor Zimmer has said. We must evaluate everything. We must be able to distinguish between truth and error. And we must be able to determine the right course for our lives based on the truth in God's word. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 10. This is a familiar passage that's talking exactly about what we're dealing with here. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. It's talking about the spiritual battle we have for truth, for wisdom and discernment. 2 Corinthians 10:3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses," those ideologies that come from the world, from Satan. "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. This is what discernment is about. This is how we can be making sure that we're walking in a way that's pleasing to the Lord, that we know what is pleasing to Him, is we need to evaluate these things. We need to be able to discern truth from error. And this takes skill. This takes wisdom from God to be able to do that. And I think there's a real need for us to be making sure that we're faithfully evaluating the messages that we're getting from the world so that we're not pulled away into error and suffer harm as a result. We don't need more information. I probably should take a step back from the Googling. We have a great need for wisdom and discernment from God's word. So, what is discernment? As I shared earlier, discernment is the ability to understand, interpret, and apply truth, wisdom, skillfully. It involves penetrating insight and careful analysis of whatever you're studying, which enables one to distinguish between truth and error, wisdom and folly. Biblical discernment must begin with and be founded on the revealed truth in the Word of God. MacArthur wrote, "Without a firm grounding in divine revelation, human reason always degenerates into skepticism, which is a denial that anything can be known for certain, or into rationalism, the theory that reason, human reason, is the source of truth, or secularism, an approach to life that purposefully excludes God, or any number of other anti-Christian philosophies." So human reason leads to these fortresses, these speculations, these lofty ideas that are raised up against the truth of God. This is exactly what we see in the world around us. By rejecting the truth of the Word of God, they are left only with their own reason. And human reason, apart from the Word of God, leads to unsound ideas. It leads to the way of death. We, as believers, are meant to engage in careful study of the Word of God under the direction of the Holy Spirit. MacArthur says that spiritual truth is meant to be rationally contemplated, logically examined, studied, analyzed, and employed as the only reliable basis for making wise judgments. This is discernment, and it's a crucial element of the effective Christian life. The main Hebrew word for discernment in the Bible is bin, which is a verb, or bina, the noun form, which essentially means to have the understanding, insight, and ability to distinguish between things. The ability to judge well. The ability to tell the difference between good and evil, wisdom and folly, truth and error. Discernment involves acute analysis and careful study of God's word. Discernment is referring to a deep understanding that results from that study that involves the ability to differentiate and judge between things. We are not meant to sort things out on our own, for ourselves, relying on our own wisdom or our own understanding. We are to study His Word with the help of His Holy Spirit, and we are to learn and absorb His wisdom and apply it to the details and decisions of our lives. This is discernment. Discernment is a critical need in the church today, as we've talked about, as we are bombarded with so many lies and twisted truths designed to draw us away from devotion to Christ. MacArthur wrote that discernment is vital in helping believers rightly inhabit and interact with the sinful world around us. And it is vital in helping us to correct one another when we're in sin. We have a great need for discernment to be able to distinguish between truth and error. So how do we go about developing wisdom and discernment? Well, Proverbs 9:10 in the Legacy Standard Bible says, "The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." But the word for understanding is that word bin for discernment. The fear of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is discernment. The starting point for wisdom is the fear of Yahweh. A commentator on Proverbs, in a book that I've been reading in preparation, explains the fear of Yahweh this way. He writes, "To fear Yahweh in practical terms involves turning around in humbled conviction of our sins, taking the Word of God to heart, and submitting ourselves to Him as Lord and Savior." Essentially, the true God, Yahweh, has revealed Himself in His Word. If you want wisdom, you must start with Him on His revealed terms. In order to be wise, you must have a living, vital relationship with Yahweh. This is what Solomon is referring to when he writes of the fear of Yahweh. The call to fear Yahweh is a call to salvation. It is a gospel message. It requires that we repent of our sin and humble ourselves before God, having a right view of Him in all His majesty and holiness, submitting to Him in reverent fear as Lord and Savior, being in a right relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and being filled with the indwelling Holy Spirit is the starting point for true wisdom and discernment. This commentator describes wisdom as the skill for living in the fear of Yahweh. He goes on to say, this God-centered wisdom will encompass all our endeavors, including excellence in relationships, in personal pursuits, finances, child rearing, the whole shooting match. But the constant backdrop of these living skills will be the imperative of a life lived in reverence for God, in conscious application of His revealed wisdom, and dedicated to promoting His glory. So the background of practical wisdom in all the different arenas of life is a reverence for God, in conscious application of His revealed wisdom in His word, and being dedicated to promoting His glory. The fear of the Lord is absolutely foundational for all spiritual knowledge, wisdom, and discernment. One cannot be wise apart from knowing God personally. This is our starting point, and we must grow from here. Proverbs 2 is an excellent description for how we can pursue growth in wisdom and discernment. So we're going to spend some time looking at Proverbs 2, verses 1 through 12. So I'm going to read this portion for you, and then we'll pick our way through it as we see the different ways that we can be growing in wisdom and discernment. And I'm going to read from the NASB. So Proverbs 2, 1 through 12. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and He preserves the way of His godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you, understanding will watch over you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. This is just what we need. So, first, we need to notice, as it may have stood out to you as you're looking at this, and it won't surprise you, that growing in wisdom and discernment is one of those cases of dependent responsibility, where we are called to pursue wisdom and discernment with great effort. And we are also promised that wisdom only comes from God, and that He will grant it. God works through the means of us applying our efforts to grow in wisdom, and then He gives us wisdom as we pursue it in the fear of Yahweh. So we are to pursue it with our whole heart, and we are to trust that we cannot gain wisdom unless God gives it to us. And He has promised that He will. So how do we pursue growing in wisdom? And the source I am using for these points and the way that we're breaking apart this text is from a wonderful commentary on Proverbs that I have that I can show you if you'd like to. So the first way to go about growing in wisdom is to build a foundation. We'll look at that from verses 1 and 2. We need to build a foundation. The foundation of wisdom and the focus of the fear of Yahweh is the word of God. We must apply our effort to build up this foundation in our hearts and in our minds. So let's look at verses 1 and 2. It says, my son, if you will receive my words. To receive here means to lay hold of, to acquire, to collect, as in a repository or a storehouse of instruction received from God. So collecting, holding on to those things that God has given us, the instructions He's given us in His word. This should always be our attitude towards the Word of God. Always learning, always eagerly receiving His instructions, always striving to understand it and to hold on to it because we recognize the importance of His Word and our need for them. So, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you. This word for treasure means to store up or to hide, to keep, essentially to put God's words where they will not be lost. Psalm 119:11 tells us that God's word should be stored up in our hearts. It's the same word, stored up in our hearts so we won't sin against him. The idea here is that we are to make God's word our own possession, to take them within so they can't be taken from us. Maybe we should be memorizing God's word so it's in our hearts and in our minds. God's law, his commandments, his words are to be kept and to be guarded within us. God's intention is that we make his wisdom, his word, our own, so as to keep it within us. It's a part of our hearts, our thinking. So, my son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, then in verse 2 it goes on to say, make your ear attentive to wisdom. To make your ear attentive means to be rapt, absorbed, captivated, and to lean forward, to listen in closely. That's to be our attitude, is paying rapt attention to wisdom from God's word. We are to give our full attention to the revealed objective truth of God in his word. Verse 2, make your ear attentive to wisdom, and then incline your heart to understanding. We are to incline or to turn our hearts towards insight and understanding. And as we know, the heart here refers to the inner man. It's not about the emotions, it's about the seat of your intellect and your volition, your choices and your evaluation. The word used for incline your heart means to turn. And it's this kind of turning that involves decision and effort. So you need to make that choice, that effort to turn your heart towards understanding. We need to apply our effort to turn our whole self towards understanding God's word, both to gain understanding and to desire it. If we have the fear of Yahweh and a love for God, we will long for wisdom and discernment. We will turn our heart towards understanding. These first two verses make it clear that we must apply all of our efforts towards building a foundation of the Word of God. We know we can never accomplish these things on our own. Our own strength and our own understanding fall far short. We are completely dependent on God to make our efforts fruitful and to bring about any change in our hearts, in our minds, and our wills. And so we must pray. After building a foundation, the next thing that Solomon speaks of in Proverbs 2 is to pray. Look with me to verse 3. It says, for if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. This is describing a very fervent prayer for discernment. We're to cry out, to call out, to lift our voices. When we understand the importance of wisdom, when we long for it, when we know the depths of our need for it, we will cry out as if our lives depended on it, which they do. The Proverbs commentary noted that prayer comes after in our instructions. It comes after building that foundation, indicating that the foundation of the Word of God ought to form the basis for our prayer. We are to be familiar with the Word of God and then pray in line with what God's Word says as we are praying for wisdom. Our prayer for wisdom ought to be informed, contentful, and biblically directed prayer. Prayer for wisdom is to be paired with careful study of the Word of God. We can think through scriptures while we are praying. We can pray scripture. We can pray for understanding of these scriptures. And oftentimes, as we're praying for wisdom, praying about a situation, God will bring his word to our minds. And through that, he will be giving us wisdom to deal with that situation. An example of a prayer for wisdom can be found in Colossians. Colossians 1, 9, and 10. Paul was praying for the church at Colossae. He had heard of their faith and he was rejoicing with them, but they were facing a dangerous heresy that was threatening their church. And so this is how he prayed for them. Colossians 1, 9, and 10. For this reason, also because of having heard about their faith, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding or discernment, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He was praying that they would have that wisdom and discernment so that they could live fruitful lives for Christ standing firm and being pleasing to him and not falling away due to this, the lies, the false teaching that they were being exposed to. Paul prayed that they would have wisdom and understanding so that they could walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. He prayed that they would know the principles of Scripture and be able to rightly apply them to the way that they were living. This should be our prayer as well for our own lives and for each other. So we need to have the foundation of the Word of God. We need to know the Word of God. We need to be memorizing the Word of God. And then we need to pray and ask God to give us wisdom and discernment. And then we need to study. Look at verse 4. It says, if you seek her as silver, her being wisdom, discernment, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, so that's the next step there. We see in this verse that wisdom requires effort and that wisdom repays or rewards effort. The Proverbs commentary describes it this way. It says, the image Solomon suggests is that of a miner. The miner sweats and strains and exhausts himself to gain something very valuable. He expends every effort in locating it and making it his own. The commentary goes on to say, God has assured us that great treasures lie open to us in his word if we would but search, seek, and dig. True discernment requires diligent study of the scriptures. There is no other way. And as we study God's word to really understand what God is saying, we must also obey what we are reading. We must obey God's word. Knowing the truth without obeying it is worthless and shows an absolute lack of wisdom. Disobedience to God's word undermines discernment. We must be faithful to follow after in obedience what God has revealed to us from his word. We must be doers of the word, not hearers only. And as we study, we should also seek help and counsel from discerning leaders. We must be sitting under the teaching of God's word in a biblically sound church. And if we're seeking discernment or wisdom on a specific topic, we should be seeking out good books and sermons on the topic. We should talk through things with brothers and sisters in Christ. We should fully study all the resources that we can come with that are based in the truth of the word of God so that we can grow in our understanding. And we are not meant to do this alone. This is why one of the benefits of having a church family that we can get recommendations on what are some good books, who can I listen to, how can I think through this. We can get biblical counsel from those who are able to pour into our lives with discernment and wisdom. And as we study, we must depend on the Holy Spirit. It is his role to guide us into all truth as we study the Word of God. MacArthur wrote, discernment ultimately depends on the Holy Spirit. As we are filled with and controlled by the Spirit of God, he makes us discerning. So, as we grow in wisdom and discernment, what are the benefits? What can we expect to find? Well, that's where Proverbs 2 goes next. So, as we have built that foundation of the Word of God and prayed and asked for God to help us to have wisdom and understanding, and as we seek for it and search for it by studying the Word of God, then we see what happens in verses 5 and 6. Then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. The Proverbs commentary says, once one has studied, thought, reflected, memorized, prayed, he will be able to discern, to have specific insight and understanding, and know how to live in the light of the fear of Yahweh, and he will find the knowledge of God. So the fear of God, the fear of Yahweh, is both the starting place and the reward. The more one grows in wisdom, the more one discerns or understands the fear of Yahweh. The prize, the result of growing in wisdom and discernment, is a growing fear of the Lord, a growing reverence for God. Greater wisdom and discernment produces that greater reverence for God, that deepening of our understanding of God and our submission to him as Lord and Master. And we see we'll discern the fear of God, of the Lord, and discover the knowledge of God. As we grow in wisdom and discernment, we will grow to know God more and more intimately and personally and experientially. We won't just know about him, but we'll know his attributes and his characteristics from our own personal experience, our relationship with him as we follow after him. And we see here, where does this wisdom come from? In verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth, from his words, come knowledge and understanding. God is the source of wisdom. The wisdom is revealed by God in his word as we are faithful to devote ourselves to faithful, prayerful study. James 1, 5, and 6 says, but if any of you lacks wisdom, which we all do, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. We need to stop looking other places as if God does not have adequate wisdom for us. The wisdom that we need is found in the Word of God. We need to be very careful about taking in input from worldly sources. We need to have discernment and be very careful about who we're listening to as we're dealing with the issues and the questions of life. We all lack wisdom. We all need to ask of God. And we can all be confident that the Lord will fulfill his promise and provide wisdom as we faithfully seek after it in his word. As we read on in Proverbs 2, we see many other benefits of wisdom and discernment. So let's just take a look there, after starting in verse 7. So we know that God, once we have applied ourselves, built that foundation of the Word of God through the Holy Spirit, prayed and continually praying and asking God for help, continually searching and seeking after wisdom, God will give us that discernment and that wisdom that are based in the proper fear of God and the true knowledge of God. He will give us that wisdom. And then in verse 7, I just see this as a laundry list of these benefits that we can have when we are walking in wisdom. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. That word stores up is the same one that is treasures. So he's treasuring wisdom for us, for the upright. And these are not those who are upright in and of themselves. These are those who are true followers of Jesus Christ, who are righteous in the righteousness of Christ. So he stores up wisdom for us. It's in a storehold. It's kept for us. And he is a shield to those who walk in integrity. So as we walk in integrity, according to the wisdom and discernment that God has given us, he protects us. This wisdom and this discernment serves as a protection for us. He shields us through that discernment and wisdom that he's given us. And then in verse 8, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. So as we are living with discernment and wisdom, that's a way that he is protecting and guarding our path. He keeps his charge over us. He protects us. He's watching over us. And then in verse 9, we see that when we have that wisdom and discernment, then we will discern righteousness and justice and equity in every good course. This is what we need to be able to live lives that are pleasing to the Lord. We need to know what is right, what is righteous, what's the righteous choice to make in a situation. We need to have an understanding of justice. That's a term that's completely been twisted and perverted in our world, the world around us. We need to understand God's justice. And we will be able to discern that with the wisdom and discernment that God gives us. And equity, fairness, and righteousness, and every good course. We'll be able to know the right decision to make at the right time. Because, in verse 10, wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Your whole self will love and desire wisdom. It will be pleasant to your whole self. It'll enter your heart. That's that inner person, the volition, the will, and also your soul. And that word refers to your emotions. Your whole self will be will love wisdom and find knowledge pleasant. And so we'll be drawn to grow further and further in wisdom as we grow to love it more and more, as we love the Word of God. And then in verse 11, discretion will guard you. Understanding or discernment will watch over you. So again, we'll be protected from our own sinful desires and sinful choices. We'll be able to recognize those sinful temptations for what they are and be able to turn away from them. And that discernment will be a help and a protection to us. And then in verse 12, as far as what it's protecting us from, not only our own sin that we're combating, but also it will deliver us from the way of evil and from the man who speaks perverse things. So it will be a protection against those lies that are so prevalent in the world around us, enable us to live based on the truth of God's word and be able to discern truth. So, as we draw our thoughts to a close, as believers, we must be able to separate, discern the truth of God's word from human foolishness. We must be able to distinguish truth from error. And we must be diligent to devote ourselves to the word of God. So throughout this year, in our time in God's Word, Women's Fellowship Night, we'll be looking at, our plan is to look at different applications, different practical applications of discernment, situations, messages we may hear from the world that sometimes can sound right to us until we take a closer look. So we want to get some practice at some practical applications of discernment and how to understand the messages that are out there in the world and how to critically evaluate them with discernment from the Word of God. We want to be able to evaluate the wisdom of the world, so-called wisdom of the world, with biblical discernment, so we know how to combat the error of the world with the truth of God's word, so that we will not stumble and fall. So our little verse card that we have for you is the most adorable little one. And on the back we have our verse from Proverbs chapter 2, Proverbs 2 verse 11 in the Legacy Standard Bible edition. Or translation, it says, discretion will keep you, discernment will guard you. So, keep this, I usually put them in my Bible, so I tend to get bunches of them in there, or you can put it in your car, or on your mirror, or by your kitchen sink. This would be a great verse to memorize, and this would be a great verse to pray about, and I would encourage you to be praying for one another, that we would all grow in our desire for discernment, that we would understand our need for it, that we'd have a desire to grow in wisdom and discernment, and that God would open our eyes to see, really, to see our need for it, to see the way that the world has rejected the truth of God's word and is twisting it. We want to be developing that discernment. So please be praying for each other that we will be growing in discernment throughout this year, and that as a result, we'll be able to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Let me go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you so much for your word. I thank you so much that you have promised that you will give wisdom to those who seek for it from you. I pray that you would help us to be faithful, to put the effort in to really know your word, to study it, to understand it, that we would be faithful to be praying over the things that we're learning, that we would be faithful to be praying over the situations that we're dealing with in life where we need your wisdom to make right choices. And I thank you that you have promised to give us that wisdom as we ask of you. And I pray also just as we go throughout this year that you would bless our time of study together, that you would help us to be able to deal with topics that are relevant and needful for the moment, that we would develop good discernment, and you might be able to use us to share your truth and your wisdom with those around us, that we'd be able to be even more effective as ambassadors for you as the world is full of so many wrong answers and wrong information. I pray that we would be able to be a source of light and a source of truth. Thank you so much for your love for us. I thank you so much for your word and your Holy Spirit. Just thank you so much again for each one of these ladies. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.